You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. with Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. A great Friday to look forward to as well, with day one of the open meeting at Cheltenham. That includes the Grade 2 Neptune Investment Management Novices Hurdle. There's also National Hunt Racing from Hexham and All Weather Racing at Lingfield in the afternoon, and the usual Friday evening fair on the All Weather at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Ollie?
Yeah, not too bad, Mark. Looking forward to Cheltenham tomorrow. Of course, when the listeners are listening to this, I'll be there.
Yeah, you're
looking forward to it.
Going to Cheltenham.
Yeah, going Friday, Saturday, coming back Sunday morning. Probably with a sore head and a lighter wallet, no doubt.
Yeah. Fantastic meeting to look forward to, 3 days of the open meeting. We'll take a look at some of the big races to start with, then we'll get stuck into Friday's action. Four races Ollie's got picked out for us there. We'll start with a feature of the 3 days, the Paddy Power Gold Cup. King's Palace heads that market at the moment at 7-1, 8-1 for Boom Duma, Anacotti 9s with Art Moresque and Irish Cavalier, 10-1 for John Spirit and Monetaire, 14s for Buywise, Double Ross and Generous Ransom. Oscar Rock and Sound Investment also 14-1, and 16s or bigger for the others. Start with King's Palace, David Pipe. Obviously the Pipes have a very good record in the race, and King's Palace has form at Cheltenham but does tend to struggle sometimes at the bigger races, if you
like. Loves Cheltenham, tends to dominate small fields early in the season, but he's bombed out two festivals. But it is significant that Martin Pipe won the race 8 times. David Pipe's already won it once with Great Endeavour back in 2012 and has gone close since. So sort of it's a meeting and a race that the Pipes love.
Yep.
Significant, I think they've aimed him at this. And the handicap has given him half a chance, given how poorly he's run it, last festival and obviously the season before that. So he's a good horse, King's Palace. I think it's significant that Tom Skew's back to ride him as well, gets on so well with him. And he's a worthy favourite at 7-1, but there's always that lingering doubt. He's duffed up big fields year in, year out at the start of the season, and then when it's come to the big day at the festival, he's bombed out. Maybe he's just not quite good enough, Mark. But I think he's just better when he can dominate in a small field. That would be my suggestion with him.
So do you take him on?
I'd be looking to take him on, yeah. I think there's too many question marks about him. Obviously he's on a good mark for this, but it's 7-1 favourite in such a big field. I'd be looking elsewhere. I actually think Sound Investment is a big price here, 14-1. He won the Old Roan Chase at Aintree this year. Obviously he's gone up in the weights for that, but this has always been the plan. He had his run over his hurdles, put him right for Aintree. Then he won the Old Roan Chase. He's going to be spot on for this. We've seen horses likes of Exotic Dancer in the past who are genuine Grade 1 performers, and I think the Paul Nicholls horse, Sound Investment, could well be that, and I think he might just be a little bit better than this field. Obviously, he's gone up in the weights for that win in the Old Roan, and it's not necessarily aimed as a trial for this race because the handicapper certainly has his say after it, but he just could be a class above Sound Investment. Paul Nicholls has got a decent record in this race, and I think he would probably be my selection at around about 12-1.
All right, 14-1 in front.
14-1, yeah.
Sound Investment then in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. The Schler Chase, another one of the highlights this weekend. Sprinter Sacra makes his reappearance and heads the market at 9-4. 5-2 for Simply Ned, who finished second in the race last year. 4-1 for Mr. Mole. 9-2 Summersby, Cervelo 10s, and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. I suppose the question is Sprinter Sacra going to be near what he used to be?
Well, there's question marks about just about every single one of these runners, Mark, isn't there? Sprinter Sacra, we're getting all the right vibes again, but equally we're getting all the right vibes before Cheltenham last year, and I was certainly hearing the polar opposite, if I'm honest. Didn't get round at Cheltenham, pulled up, showed a little bit more at Sandown on his last start, but there's still huge question marks for me. There's no way, in my opinion, that he's the horse he was. He's dropped down to a mark of 167, so the handicapper clearly thinks he's not as good as he was. I'd be looking to take him on, but if you look at the rest, Mark, they've all got question marks about them as well, no more so than Mr. Moll. He certainly looked a reformed character for Paul Nicholls last year. He got him back to his old ways because he seemed to be a bit of a character, yeah. It's fair to say, when push came to shove. He used to travel well in his races, but find not a great deal for pressure. But then when it came to the big day, the Queen Mother obviously bombed out, 8th of 9 behind Dodging Bullets, and was only 3rd of 7 behind Special Tiara. But he did look a reformed character last year, and he was much improved. Obviously, he won at Exeter, that graduation chase, won out on a handicap chase, and then he absolutely hosed in the Game Spirit at Newbury prior to disappointing at Cheltenham. But runs off a mark of 164 here. He's only got £3 to find with Sprinter Sacre, but there's still that lingering doubt for me. Surely the bet on the place market, the William Hill place market, is Somersby.
Hmm.
He's a very, very infrequent winner. But again, he's only got a couple of pounds to find with Sprinter Sacre, and he always seems to place. Remember, he was second at Cheltenham in the Queen Mother behind Dodging Bullets. That was an outstanding run. He was second at Sandown earlier in the year in the Tingle Creek. He was second in the Amley 1965 chase earlier in the year as well. He was a little bit disappointed in the Holden Gone Cup. The only worry is he's not had a pipe opener coming into this.
Yeah, how well does he go fresh?
How well does he go fresh would be the slight question mark. But 9-2, I probably wouldn't back him to win. It's a long time since his last win. You've got to go back to the 5th of the 11th, 2013 in the Holden Gold Cup. But that was his first start that season. The just worry was he was so disappointed in the Holden Gold Cup last year. But after that, he improved markedly. But so Somersby would be the selection. I'm not sure for win purposes. But you've got win purposes. All of them have question marks here. Sprinter Sacre, his well-being. Simply Ned, I'm still not completely convinced with Nicky Richards' charge. Nicky Richards' forces are in fantastic form. Perhaps if he was trained by a Paul Nicholls or a Nicky Henderson, he'd perhaps go off favourite for this. He was really impressive in that handicap chase. Kelso has given him a pipe opener coming into this. 6-4 favouritism, fully deserved there. And he did look pretty progressive last season, and he's now running off a mark of 160. So he is progressive, this horse, but is he quite as good as these who have contested the championship races year in, year out, the likes of Somersby, Sprinter Sacre, Mr. Moll? You're bound to get a good gallop with My Brother Sylvester in the field, so they're going to go along at a good click. I couldn't have Sprinter Sacre on my mind. We'd all love him to win and be back to his best, but from what I've seen on his last season, I couldn't back him at 9-4. So the selection would be on the pro race card market, Somersby to place.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit of a cop-out for that. But Mr. Moll, he's got probably more ability than the majority of this field, but will he go through with it when push comes to shove? He was disappointed on his last two starts last season. Somersby's been a slightly indifferent record fresh. He has won a Holden Gold Cup fresh, but at least we know he loves the track. Second in the Queen Mother last year. Sprinter Sacre, we all know about the problems highlighted by him. And Simply Ned, is he simply good enough? So there's question marks about the whole field. I'd be going 3 or 4 to 1 bar in this. But it's a bit of a cop-out, but I would go on Somersby on the William Hill Pro Race Card market to place.
All right, keep an eye out for when that's priced up on the place-only market. And just quickly touching on the Greatwood as well. 7-1 the field there. Mick Jazz heads the market at 7-1 with us. 8-1 for Nabucco. Superb Story 8s. 9s for Totalize. Devilment 10s. 11-1 are bigger prices for the others. Quite an open renewal.
I think quiet is being very kind. I think you've got to close your eyes and hope for the best. One at a huge price, which I wouldn't rule out, is previous winner Alofi. 33-1, I think, is with William Hill, is he not?
Big price, yeah.
He's right at the bottom, but look at the mark now, Mark. He's down to 132. He's had his pipe opener in the Elite Hurdle at Wincanton. If it does turn up very soft, he would have a big chance. Love soft ground. The forecast is indifferent for the weekend. So he could well outrun his price. He was 8th in the race last year. Maybe a little bit disappointing when he went off quite a short price. But he was 3rd in the Grade 2 International Hurdle back at Cheltenham the month after. He likes track. Previous winner of the race. If it turns up very soft, Alofi, who is the 3rd outsider of the field, could well give you a run for your money at 33-1.
There you go, big price there in the Greatwood Hurdle. Let's move on to matters a little bit close to home, though. Let's get stuck into Friday's action. Ollie's got the first four races figured out for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start with the 105 at Cheltenham, which is a Class 2 handicap chase over 2 miles. A healthy field of 15 of them here, Ollie. Just which ones have made the shortlist?
About 10, Mark.
So it's a long shortlist.
Yeah, it's a very hard race to get the meeting started. The first one to obviously look at is the Pipe Runner. We have already mentioned Martin Pipe used to target the meeting, having won the Paddy Power Gold Cup 8 times. David yep. Pipes had an excellent record here in recent years since he took over the licence, and there's been money all morning for Lavati Ken, previously with Francois Cutter. I used to work with him, actually, in France.
Yeah.
And he's only had the one start for David Pipe. That was in a decent handicap hurdle, the silver plate handicap hurdle at Kempton, where he was second behind Tienval, who, of course, franked the form significantly when winning the Older Hay Children's Charity handicap hurdle. That was a grade three at the Aintree Grand National meeting. So you can see why he is pretty strong favourite. But the one that I like, and I'm pretty keen on this horse, the Mould's obviously having a big week with Sprinter Sacco running on the Sunday, but I think they can get the festival off to a winning start with Lock Kent. They ran him over 2.5 miles last time, and I think that really stretched his stamina at Worcester. I was in the studio, and I was very keen on him. He was only 8-13 that day, and he was a little bit disappointing, it has to be said, but he travelled into the race better than anything else, and quite simply, Mark, did not get home. Prior to that, he'd absolutely bolted in at Warwick, beating Unanju by 15 lengths, didn't come off the steal. He's got previous Cheltenham experience over hurdles. He was third behind Hurricane Hollow last year, one of Dan Skelton's horses. And he had an official rating of 136 at one point over hurdles. But I think he's potentially very well handicapped over fences. I say, in my opinion, he did not stay that 2.5 miles on his previous start. Prior to that was certainly his running at Warwick. And around about 8-1, Lock Kent would be quite a positive selection in the first race.
Lock Kent, the selection for Ollie in the 105. Then moving on to the 140 at Cheltenham next. This is a novice's chase over 2.5 miles. And we'll start here with More of That. Makes his chase debut here. Previous world hurdle winner. Obviously, things didn't go right for him last season. But if he's back on song, it'd be interesting to see him over the bigger obstacles.
Yeah, I think he's going to take all the beating here because he brought to 169 over hurdles was his official rating. Obviously, was really disappointing on his only start last year in a long distance hurdle. That was a grade two at Newbury, where he was beaten by Medinas and Cole Harden. Admittedly, he was 18 lengths behind the world hurdle winner Cole Harden, but he was thoroughly progressive over hurdles. Remember, this horse has only had the 7 starts in his career, so he's very lightly raced. Tongue tie on his first start last year, that could be significant. I would suggest he's had a wind operation in the summer, given he had that tongue tie on, and the vibes were just not right. He was a big drifter on the day, and he was stuffed out of sight. And the fact he didn't run since suggests, you know, they had a big problem with him. But he gets in here with no penalty. Obviously, he's never ran over fences, which is a slight worry. But he was an absolute class act over hurdles. I think Jonjo Neal's took his time with him, thoroughly progressed him. I think there could well be more to come over fences. So, once again here, 2.4 miles might be slightly short of his best, but it's a nice opening. Barry Geraghty takes the ride for his boss, JP McManus, and I think he's going to take all the beating. If you're looking at one to take him on with, perhaps it would be Asda Me, who was second on his debut this year behind Cocktails at Dawn at Chepstow. That was a pretty decent race. Black Lion, who was a decent hurdle last year, he was back in fourth. And he ended last season in pretty good heart. He was third in the he won a grade three at Sandown, beating Great Try and Kilgeel Hill. And on his last start, which was at Aintree, he was sixth behind Nichols Canyon and Parlour Games, Three Musketeers back in third. So that was a good run. But if he reproduces anything like his form over hurdles, More of That's going to take all the beating.
More of That selection for Ollie then in the 140 at Cheltenham. Do keep an eye on the William Hill website as well, because AP McCoy will be looking ahead to these races at Cheltenham. It'll be interesting to hear his thoughts on More of That. He did mention last time we spoke to him that he was looking forward to seeing him over fences in this race. So we'll get an update on More of That from the champ. The 215 is the next race that we look at. This is the Neptune Investment Management Novices Hurdle. It was the Hyde Novices Hurdle, a grade two contest over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Only 4 of them in the lineup here, and 4 pretty nice prospects as well, Ollie.
Yeah, 4 very nice prospects. John Ferguson won the race last year with Parlour Games. He was 10-1. I'm not sure that Penglai Pavilion will go off that price tomorrow somehow. He's got an official rating already of 146. He was very smart indeed on the flat. He had an official rating of 118. He was very, very good on the flat Penglai Pavilion. He looked a pretty decent price, it has to be said, on his debut now in hindsight. 9-4 to win a Hexham maiden hurdle. He bolted up by 18 lengths on that day then. Hacked up again at Stratford at 4-7. And at Cheltenham, on his last start where he went off second favourite, he beat Laureum pretty convincingly by 4.5 lengths. He does obviously have the £7 penalty for his wins, but he's going to take all the beating, Mark, it has to be said. And he doesn't look like a typical Ferguson horse who's not finding a great deal off the bridle. He's very, very classy indeed. As I say, he's got a flat rating of 118 at his best. Formerly very, very classy. He's transferred that level to hurdles. He's going to take all the beating, but he's not going to be selection. Alcala and Shantou Village, I think, will come up a little bit short. But probably one of the most exciting horses to run at this meeting, in my opinion, is Champers on Ice for the David Pipe team. Tom Scudamore takes a ride. Keep mentioning it, but the Pipes have a fantastic record at the meeting. And this lad just won ahead at the Punchestown Festival. That was in the big bumper race there from First Figaro of Dermot Wells, who, of course, since being second to the selection, Champers on Ice, followed up at Galway, winning by 1.75 lengths from a Shark Hanlon Hot Pot, another Cyclone. So Dermot Wells obviously held him in high regard, kept him for the Galway Festival, and he duly obliged, did the second behind Champers on Ice on his debut. He unseated his rider in his first point-to-point, then he bolted up, and then obviously he's been bought since. As I say, he won that point, the Punchestown bumper, not convincingly by a head, but the form has been significantly franked by First Figaro. They pulled 28 lengths clear of the rest, and with that £7 pull in the weights, he's bound to have been well schooled. He could be something pretty special, this horse. Champers on Ice will be the selection in the 215.
Champers on Ice then for Ollie in that one, and we finish off in the 250 at Cheltenham, the cross-country handicap chase. It's over 3 miles and 6 furlongs. No Balthazar King in this year's renewal. He's won the last two of them. Uncle Junior, a previous winner in the lineup here, but it's a typical who's who of cross-country runs, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously the first one we've got to go to is the Ender Bulger runner, and that is probably going to go off our favourite here, Josie's Order. Has had a run this season. That was in the handicap hurdle at Galway off 123. That would be just to have a little pipe opener and cashed in on a very nice mark of 115 at the Punchestown Festival. Was well back that day into 2-1 favouritism, and Nina Carberry won pretty much with her eyes closed that day. She continues to take up the ride, has gone back up in the weights from 123 to 129, but arguably on his previous form for John Joe O'Neill, he's very well handicapped, Josie's Order. I just think he's a little bit short in the betting. You know, you can run these races 4 or 5 times. I think it's connections. Josie's Order obviously won at Punchestown on his only start over these fences. Ender Bulger, right connections. JP loves to win the race, as does Nina Carberry. But what I'm going to concentrate on here is the top weight, Champion Court. Formerly, and still is, very classy indeed. Loves Cheltenham. I thought he ran really, really well in the winner.co.uk trophy handicap chase at Cheltenham on his last visit to the course. He finished 8th of 12 there, but turning for home, he thought he was going to win. His confidence is back up. He had a very profitable summer, winning 3 times, once in a handicap chase and twice over hurdles. So he cashed in on the hurdles mark, but he's got his confidence back now. Andrew Tinkler's got a good record on the horse, and I thought he ran out of his skin off a heavy weight at Cheltenham last time. He's taken on lesser horses now in these cross-country chases. Loves the track. Martin Keithley, his local track, he's got an excellent record here. And he's going to go off around about 14, 16 to 1 Champion Court. You've got the 16 runners barring a non-runner. I think he'll give you a really good run for your money because it's a compressed handicap here. We've got five of the runners, out the weight, so pretty compressed handicap. I think he's going to take all the beats in Champion Court. Even if he ran up to the 8th of 12 that he ran here on his previous start, he's got his head in front during the summer. His confidence is back. I think he's just about back to his best. Martin Keithley's had a really good time of it over the last week. I think he's had 4 winners. And Andrew Tinkler's won on the horse on 3 occasions. So Champion Court, at a big price, would be quite a strong selection in the Glencafarclas cross-country chase.
Yeah, it's interesting to see him go cross-country, isn't it? Because he's got that touch of class, as you mentioned. So yeah, interesting to see how he gets on Friday. As always, Ollie, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
So in the 105 at Cheltenham, I am going with Lock Kent. 140 at Cheltenham, my selection is More of That. In the 215 at Cheltenham, Champers on Ice. And finally, in the 250, the Glencafarclas cross-country handicap chase, the top weight, Champion Court.
Superb. Good work, Ollie. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy your time at Cheltenham.
I'm sure I will, Marky.
There you go, the thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Friday's racing, the first instalment of this year's open meeting at Cheltenham. Plenty to look forward to there. We've also got Hexham and Lingfield alongside that in the afternoon, and Wolverhampton and Dundalk provide the action in the evening. It's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. Set those alarm clocks. Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell will be in the studio, so do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.